Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm joined by April Phillips, a winner of the Uncle Jack Charles Award at the 2024 Melbourne International Film Festival for Kaju Yanaga. April, first of all, congratulations on winning such a prestigious award and welcome to NITV Radio.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure.
I just saw the award-winning piece. First time I've ever experienced something similar like that. It's just, without even going into the details of what I saw, very impressive. Tell us about this really, really amazing piece you entered and won this prestigious award.
Yeah, I would love to. It's a very special work, and I really enjoy this idea you're talking about, it kind of flowing, because it's only 10 minutes in duration, but it sort of feels like it's longer than that and shorter than that all at once. And I guess when we were thinking about making Kaju Yanaga, which means come on, let's walk together, we were exploring this idea of what it would be like to enter the spirit realm. So imagining that that scrim that we see this projected image onto, which is 14 meters, so it's a lot of surface.
It's massive.
It's massive. It was, yeah, it's immersive, right? Yeah. And how it kind of feels to have this almost like a membrane between worlds. So we're here in our world and then we're in our bodies, but we have this spirit realm, which is just kind of sitting right here at ACME, actually. And the story is about the journey of intergenerational healing. So it's sort of thinking through how we can begin to make space and give permission to First Nations peoples to address healing in a way, but also how we can bring everyone along in allyship. And as we see at the end of the work, without giving anything away, we're actually stronger once we've overcome it than we were at the beginning.
The story involves so many concepts, so many things. We'll get into the details of what's involved, but most importantly, it involves collaboration across generations, including Elder Warren Ngare Foster Sr. and younger artist Warren Foster Jr. This intergenerational collaboration in the creation process itself embodies aspects of healing across generations. Can you, this is my understanding, maybe can you elaborate on this and tell us more how this collaboration embodies what I just described?
Absolutely. Well, I'm a Wiradjuri Scottish woman and I currently live, work and play on the Yuin Nation, which is their country. And Warren Foster Jr. and Warren Foster Sr. are two incredible human beings who really invest in culture work. They are maintaining their culture, they're reviving their culture, they're practicing their culture. I just really can't get over this generosity that they have to share their culture as well, which is what you just experienced when you saw the work. So all of the language, the traditional dance, the yidiki that you hear, and then that really powerful breath work as well, is just, you know, coming together and expressing so much and giving so much to audiences. But you're absolutely spot on. In the process of creating the work, it is creating intergenerational exchange. And we know that when you have a platform or a piece of work that you're working towards, you have a reason, right, to be kind of fine-tuning exactly how do we pronounce that word, exactly how does that dance go. So that process was incredible to see unfold between the two. And ultimately, when they were here for the opening and the artist talk, they just feel incredibly proud. And of course, even more proud to be carrying the honour of the Uncle Jack Charles Award, which we don't take lightly. We feel like that's a huge responsibility, actually.
Yeah, how does it feel to receive an award named after the legendary Uncle Jack Charles?
He is absolutely a legend, And actually, we were talking about who he is and how it resonates with the work. I think the fact that it's set in the spirit realm is a beautiful kind of call out to him. I think also that we're exploring this idea of healing and thinking about, I guess, what First Nations peoples have been through and what we still need to overcome. It feels like we're sort of a piece of his legacy, we hope. But he's also a total rock star, right? Someone with a lot of charisma, just like Warren Foster Jr. Somebody who knew how to kind of sit in his own presence and share it in film and television and theatre on the stage. And really, for me, people like Uncle Jack Charles represent, again, what it's like to overcome a lot and come out shinier and even more beautiful as a result.
And how does your Wiradjuri Scottish heritage influence your artistic vision and storytelling approach? Because you come from two worlds and two cultures. How do you combine these to tell your stories?
Yeah, well, I guess the answer is all within me. I can't really tell where the edges lie, but I have just really enjoyed exploring my own creative expression in this world. And within these kind of 3D digital works, sometimes they can feel quite cold or polished. And I really wanted the world to feel wobbly and organic and strange and beautiful. So it's a really exciting opportunity to find a platform for my expressions, but also acknowledging that the Wiradjuri peoples and the Yuin peoples where I live and where the collaborators are from have had an alliance for thousands of years. So we're kind of continuing this idea of how we exchange and collaborate and gather.
The landscapes, because when you said wobbly, I felt sometimes, oh, my knees are going wobbly because of all these landscapes, you know, traveling in front of you, in front of these, you know, with this very large screen, and things are just happening. And sometimes you feel, oh, well, you're on the edge of a cliff. How did you choose the landscapes that are featured? Which landscapes are depicted in this 10-minute film?
Yeah, well, I guess it's a parallel world. So it's really referencing the world that we live in, but it is a world unto its own. And I will shout out Pat Eunice, who's the virtual art director on the project, is an absolute superstar and somebody who's really across world building. And he was thinking about using the game engine. So it's the same tool that you would use to build a video game, and thinking about all of the different ways that the world was not just going to become like a stage for the story, but that it is part of the story and very connected. But anyone lucky enough to travel to the far south coast of New South Wales will know that we have incredible forms in the landscape. And of course, often we refer to them as, you know, different kind of female forms, as mother. And yeah, it's a nice reference to that as well. That kind of connection of the sleeping ancestors or the resting spirits in our country.
For most of First Nations creators, artists, storytellers, the concept of determination is, I would say, omnipresent. How does Kaju Yanaga exemplify self-determination and allyship in action?
I am still a little bit in a state of shock that we managed to pull it together, because it is a work of huge ambition and risk-taking. And so the financial backing is part of the allyship in a way. And then I feel like the self-determination is the trust that we received to fulfill our vision in full, and not in a way that felt basic or a pilot. It felt like it was kind of really, how can we take it all the way and not have to compromise in our vision and make sure that audiences are receiving something that is of the highest standard, because that's the platform this work deserves.
Are there any other First Nations similar kind of movies in XR, or this is the first one?
It's the first one to my knowledge. Wow. Yeah, it's certainly the only work this year. We did make history by winning the Uncle Jack Charles Award and an award at MIF even for a work that isn't a film and more of an experimental, immersive or XR experience. So it took 72 years, but we've been saying that we've opened the door and we're going to leave it open on our way out so that someone else can walk through that door and win it again.
Yeah,
in the future.
No, because it's really being a pioneer, being the first one to produce this kind of thing, it's just amazing. And because, you know, when we look at movies and all that, and First Nations superheroes, it's just in the last few years that we started seeing them in the movies and even on this cutting edge of technology. How do you explore themes of Indigenous futurism going forward after this experience of Kajuyanaga?
Yeah, I really like futurism. I think in part the format, just working at the absolute precipice of what is possible in digital, is part of that futurism. I also really enjoy this idea of kind of creating a world and delivering a story which really expresses just the most ancient. And I think you kind of get that sense right at the beginning when you start out underground. We're in this subterranean zone. And a lot of people have told me it feels ancient. It feels almost like before time. And then when we emerge into the ground level, and then eventually we're in the celestial skies, it's sort of this, it's futurism, but it's also the kind of collapse of time. This idea of this circular time where we're in the past and the present at the same time. And we're also kind of imagining what could be possible, because that's what futurism is to me, the kind of imagining, the wondering, and then the being in that space. And you are a part of that. You're a part of that future. How did it feel?
No, I was completely shocked because it's the first time I experienced this kind of work in front of me, this huge screen and, you know, characters coming so close, going away. And but I like the Hideki. It really makes the whole experience flow seamlessly. That's one thing that I like the most. But it's just, wow, okay, mind completely blown. And then when I saw these things coming together, then I saw the smoking ceremony at the end, I felt, wow, this is just big story coming together very beautifully. And I felt, when I saw the smoking ceremony, actually I realized this probably towards the end of the film itself. It was still going. I didn't have any sense of time. But when I saw it, I felt, well, we're closing, getting close to the end of the 10-minute movie. And how do you want audiences to watch it? Because I saw many of the viewers walking towards the screen, moving away, going with the flow. How do you want other people to experience it?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I think it's up to individuals to make that choice. But the work is interactive. So we have a network of nodes on the ceiling, which are throwing down an infrared light and tracking bodies in the space in real time. So there are certain points within the story where you'll see a kind of representation of self on screen. So an example of that is everybody who joins the spirit realm in Kajuyanaga receives a representation of their spirit, which sort of dances around like a beautiful kind of blue spark or a light on the screen, and it will move left or right depending if you move left or right, and if you move closer or further away it will change as well. And then we have other representations of ourselves, such as the gorgeous flowers that we see on the ground level, and then in the kind of epic boss battle up in the sky as well, we need to work to crack off the trauma from the magnificent cloud comb, the beautiful processor of the world.
Is that the intergenerational healing kind of concept that would be explained or featured that way?
Yes, I think so. Yes, it's sort of this idea that what we're dealing with is part of us, it's part of the environment or country, and it's also part of all the things that sit in between. And I guess that's what I was exploring with that big, huge object in the sky, sort of like a processor of the world.
You're a multi-talented artist. You really work with so many different art forms. This is the first time I have the honor of talking to you. Tell us about your other projects or movie making.
Yeah, well, I guess I'm coming from a digital art background and a lot of illustration. And this is definitely, it's the only work like this that I've made so far. And I think I really waited to have all the conversations, to fundraise, to kind of do the deep thinking and the slow burn on this one. So, yes, it's my first, but I don't think it will be my last.
But you need a huge screen, 14 meters long, and it's angled. It's not one of those flat screens or flat or even carved, but it's 14 meters and it's got a right angle on it. Do you need a special computer or special equipment to be able to create something to work on to fit on such a large screen?
Yes. So I call the computer we have the Stallion because it is so powerful and was literally built for this work. So Jordan East is on the team. He's an incredible technical and motion artist and a digital professional to the max. And he bought the computer parts and actually put it together so that it would be the perfect computer for this work. But you're right, it is pretty powerful. So I think that's a big part of creating something this large scale and ambition is some of the technologies, a really huge investment, and even the body tracking, which is rigged to the ceiling, comes from France. So, you know, we really kind of searched far and wide on where we might find the perfect technologies and how we could use them thoughtfully in the work. So not making kind of digital glitter where it's flexing and showing how much we can do, but actually reining it in a bit as well and going, well, what's important to the story or what feels right in this beat or this moment?
Can you tell us more about the French connection to this film? Because I work for two different programs, the NITV Radio and the French program. I'd like to be able to also tell my French-speaking audience about this movie and the connection, especially to France.
Absolutely. Well, the tracking system is by Augmenta, they're called, and they're based out of Lyon. And they are absolutely cutting edge in their technology. And what they're specializing is this idea of real-time tracking. So how to find bodies in the space and how to translate that as code or data as a sort of plug-in to the work.
What challenges, or if any, did you face in combining traditional First Nations knowledge with the emerging digital technologies?
Rather than talking about it as a challenge, I feel like it was just a series of opportunities. And some of those are really about the hidden layers of process. For example, one thing that we thought really deeply about was the digital handling of everything. The other thing we're thinking about is when we've brought on a collaborator, a First Nations collaborator, how we license those objects thoughtfully, what happens to the files, how we're making sure that other people receive them so that there's an exchange. So there was lots of things like that. But I think one of the really special aspects is the photogrammetry scans. So photogrammetry is a way where you can take hundreds and hundreds of photos, so all the way around, all the way on top, underneath, everywhere. And then you compile all of these photographs and you build a 3D image, a kind of replica which we can bring into the virtual world that belongs in the physical world. And so at the very beginning of Kadjuyanagar, audiences receive a virtual smoking with a cultural belonging. So when we first showed on the Darug Nation in Western Sydney, we worked with Madison Shakespeare, and it was this really gorgeous kind of bark bundle with straw inside it, and it was all tied together. It was a very beautiful little package. So we created a photogrammetry scan, placed it in the work as the way for the companion spirit to be smoked in, but also for audiences to safely enter the work and leave behind things that they might have brought in with them. Now, when you just saw it here in Melbourne, we had a different smoking object, a different cultural belonging, which we worked with our amazing host artist, Jara Catalina Steele, and her mother, Professor Carolyn Briggs, and we found something that was really centered to place here. So that's a kind of extra step in process, respect, and protocol that we're so proud of, and really want to thank our partners Now and Ever, MIF and ACME, for supporting and understanding that extra work that needed to be done.
Do you mean that object changes each time you go to a different place?
Absolutely.
Wow, that's a lot of work and a lot of money involved, because each time you do it, it's time, and time is expressed in dollars when it comes to creativity and things like that.
Uncompromising. This work is uncompromising in its vision, but in a good way, where it sparks conversations like this. You know, what does it mean for a work to just drop in on place? And we really have a dream to do a national tour. So if anyone wants to help us out with that, please get in touch. But we love the idea that we can connect with people as we travel along. This beautiful kind of exchange where we hand over that virtual photogrammetry scan of that cultural belonging to communities as also a way of saying thank you for having us.
Thanks for such a wonderful work. But before I let you go, just one question, because it takes courage and really, I don't know how I'd say it, to dive into something so challenging, so new, so complicated. What advice would you give to other emerging First Nations artists looking to push boundaries in digital and XR storytelling?
I would say be as brave as you can be as ambitious as you can be. I think find the right team who are a combination of incredible First Nations talent, but also allies. And also, I just feel like, you know, this is a really incredible way to be honouring our ancestors and our elders. And really, that's our responsibility. So just go for it, really. Yeah. And find good mentorship. And yeah, experiment. That's the other thing I would say. That's how you get there, by trying things out and failing.
And you succeeded.
Yes.
April Phillips, first of all, congratulations again for winning such a prestigious award, the Uncle Jack Charles Award at the Melbourne International Film Festival 2024. And thank you very much for taking the time to join us on NITV Radio today to give us insights into your creation, a very, very, very powerful XR storytelling experience, Kajo Iyanaga.
Mandungu, merci beaucoup. And come check it out. It's on until the 31st of August at ACME in Melbourne. Thanks, everyone.